This is episode 24 of the Get Above the Line podcast. And I have a special guest with me today, Kevin Kaufman. All you got to do is look at his Facebook cover photo. It covers most of your accomplishments, right?
Definitely shows how much I like myself. There's no doubt about that.
You were introduced to me as one of the most connected people in real estate. I think that's a cool title. The accomplishment that I'm really focused on right now, because I'm proud of episode 24. You are at episode 501 in your podcast.
You know, it's funny. I knew I was around 500. I didn't realize it was 500 or 501, as you just said. Yeah, dude, that's just consistent posting for a long time. I want to also point out episode 24. That number means actually a lot to me. You don't know this, but like I'm looking at the number 24 right now. It's Kobe Bryant's jersey.
Okay. And
like the Mamba mentality. I got a little Mamba mentality poster board here in my little podcast office.
Awesome. Awesome.
And so I love that I'm number 24 because Kobe, I hate saying it. I sound weird saying it like this. He meant a lot to my life. I learned a lot. Grant, I'm a diehard Lakers fan, but I learned a lot about life and business through Kobe and the way he attacked not just basketball, but then his post-basketball life too. And so I love that I'm episode 24, bro.
Since you agreed to do this, I've been so excited. I feel like this is taking the podcast to another level. I'm really excited that about the 24 thing, that's a big deal. So I did a little research about podcasts, right? I just want to read these to you and it'll show how impressive 501 is. So they say 90% of podcasts don't get past the third episode. There's 1.8 million people that quit. Out of the 200,000 left, 90% of them will quit after 20 episodes. So I made that. I passed the 20 mark. So I feel good about that. To be in the top 1% of podcasts in the world, you only need to publish 21 episodes.
Wow.
I want to go back to the first episode. When's the last time you listened to it?
Early on, I used to listen a lot because I was trying to learn from myself. Like, okay. So I was trying to learn, where do I sound stupid? Where can I sound better? As you know, I'm not really worried that much about what other people think of me, but I want to be a good host. Like what I've always wanted is like for someone to say to me after we're done recording, go, dude, that was a lot of fun. You're good at that. That's important to me. And so early on, I listened to a lot. And now what I do, I still go back and listen to episodes because I'll get to be so in the moment with that person that I didn't learn as much as I could. So like, I will then go back when it's published and actually just consume it myself.
That's awesome. Well, I consumed episode one and I got a couple chuckles out of it. It was only 4 minutes long. So it's not a real long listen. So you can get that out of the way real quick. From what I figured out, I think it was October of 2018, the first episode. And you were talking about January 1st of 2019, which kind of confused me because that's how it opened. You were talking about, you were like future pacing January 1st, and you were talking about what you needed to do to prepare where you wanted, how you were going to get your business to the point you wanted it to be January of 2019. It was you and Fred, and it's really cool. I mean, I love the fact that you go back and listen so that you can improve like how people feel when they're on it. I saw something the other day about Pat Ben David was talking about him being on Bill Maher's podcast. They were doing the percentages of talking, right? Because that's the challenge, right? It's like letting the other people talk. Like here I am talking over you. But so he said that he was on Bill Maher's podcast and Bill Maher talked 75% of the time. Like they had the percentage, you know?
It's the worst, dude. So as a guest, you know, I'm not going to say his name. He's a super well-known realtor. And I was on his podcast about, I don't know, year and a half, maybe either 1 year and a half ago or 2.5 years ago. It's on his podcast. And I was like, God, I felt like he talked 75% of the time. I was like, this is the worst experience I've ever had as a guest. Basically, my hope is always the opposite for my guests. And then I'll tell you too, as a consumer of podcasts, because I like to listen. So I'm not going to get into whether you're a fan of Jordan Peterson or not a fan of Jordan Peterson. I learned from him. I disagree with him on a lot, which is actually why I listen to him, because he has a different viewpoint than I do on a lot of things. And he also makes a lot of great points that I do agree with. But he had one of my very favorite authors, Robert Greene, on his podcast. And so I was like, I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to go listen to this. And it was terrible, bro, because Jordan just talked over him the whole time. And I'm like, let your guest, like, I'm here for your guest, not for you.
Right.
And it was probably 75-25 in that case too. So, yeah, I don't even know why you brought that up, but I'm glad you did. That's something I think about.
I mean, if that's the only thing you focused on was making sure that you were the 25% instead of the 75%. I mean, it's a challenge for me sometimes, but it's different people. You talk to different people, and what I've learned out of 24 episodes is that it's like the different people you get with, some need
it, you have to carry push. Sometimes you have to sort of lob the softball for some guests. So some people they'll show up and they'll be like kind of frozen. They're scared or intimidated. Like, they're really bright and intelligent people. And then when you say action, it's like, I don't know what to say. And so sometimes I've done that, no doubt, where I've like, oh, okay, they're not like, I've got to warm them up. Like, I literally have to speak more right now in this early part and help jog some things for them. So that way I can kind of get them to then take the lead from me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think that there's an art to that. I think.
So where do you think you got it? What episode? Like, how halfway through your journey, or did you get it early on, or like, is that something that is still developing?
I'm sure it's still developing and I'm still getting better, but I feel like I was actually pretty good at that from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's very natural to me because I've always enjoyed learning from people and asking them questions. And so to just do it while something's recording is actually just, to me, it's no different at all. It's just something's recording right now.
Yeah.
So it's been very simple for me. I will admit. Now, not that I haven't learned and gotten a lot better. I think I have. But that sort of aspect of like being the host that is able to sort of put a spotlight on someone else and then know when I have to like lift the extra weight, that hasn't been that challenging for me.
That's really cool. So we were talking a couple of weeks ago, you're working on a video studio. How's that coming along?
It's done, bro. In fact, when we're done with this, I got a quick phone call and then I'm heading up there to record.
Oh, sweet.
Dude, yeah. It looks so good.
That's a journey in itself. Like, I've been working on this studio we moved locations and we've adjusted, and it's been probably 2 years in the making. So it's like, you're constantly working to improve it and make the audio and the video and everything's better. But yeah, I'm excited for you. You guys are gonna crush it in there.
Yeah, I'm so pumped for it. Like, I told Chris last week, I was like, I feel like I'm a caged animal right now. I've always recorded video. Like, Fred and I started doing video for our business back in 2009, literally. And then I've had the podcast, as you just pointed out, 500 plus episodes. I've always been creating content, but I also have like shied away from really hitting YouTube hard and Instagram Reels hard over the last few years, and like came into it, like something hit me late last year where I was like, no, this is where I'm going to spend my creative time.
Yeah.
And so getting the studio up and running, it just like, I'm here for it, bro. I'm here for it.
501 episodes, man. I really think that's a huge accomplishment. And what do you think kept you so consistent? How did, because I imagine there were times you wanted to stop.
Yes, for sure. There's been times I've thought about stopping. I think mostly I just enjoy doing it. Like, I enjoy learning. So I'm a naturally very curious person. And so when I have somebody on my podcast, first of all, kind of like it because I'm the gatekeeper. Like, I'm the person deciding who gets to be on my platform that I create.
Right.
If they're on there, it's because I'm interested in learning from them.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in sharing their story because I've already learned about them, maybe like offline. And now I'm like, other people need to hear this. And so I think that's the thing that's kept me into it for 501 episodes now. And I bet there's 10 of them in the can as well, ready to be released over the next couple months, is that I'm interested still. I still want to learn from people. And the day I don't want to do it, the day it feels like a job, the day I'm not getting something from it, I'll stop. I'll just stop one day, but that ain't today.
That's really cool. So you're using it to learn yourself, which I think is a really cool perspective for it, right? How do you think that's affected your business? I mean, does it, I mean, obviously it does because you're able to open up conversations. What percentage of those conversations are people you knew prior, connected with prior, or people that you're looking to connect with?
Yeah, I will use it as an excuse to get to know somebody. Even though it's a real estate podcast, like it's literally called Next Level Agents, I will still use it as an excuse to get to know somebody who might not be in real estate. If there's lessons we can take that I think are applicable to real estate, I'll do the translation part of like, oh, Bob, you just said this. Hey, real estate agents that are listening, here's how I think this applies to our business, right? So I can do that. So I will use it as a way to get to know somebody. I use it as a way to get to know realtors that maybe I'm not in relationship with enough right now, or in, but I want to be. And then also, at least three quarters of them are like people that I know, like you, like they're my friends, and I know something about their business that's cool, and I want to highlight it, or I want to learn more from it, or both.
Man, I know there's stuff to learn from you, but that was the first thing when I looked at the podcast and I started digging into it. I was like, man, this is one of the big things that I it's overlooked, I think, by many. The consistency in that and how much time and effort you've put into that and energy and resources that you to film 501 episodes when most people quit at three.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. It's really cool.
It's the power of the consistency, though. Like, kind of like, I don't want to do something. Fred and I were talking about this yesterday. We're talking to a friend a few days ago who I love dearly and who is very intelligent. Fred and I were talking about the need to do things that are sustainable. Doing things that are sustainable and that I could be consistent at for a long time is very important. Now, that's not to say I don't try new things to find out what I like. But when I say I'm going to do something, I mean that for like until further notice, I'm now doing this. If you're not consistent with things, and now listen, you and I see that with realtors in the business. Some of them are peers, some of them are people that join our organizations. That consistency is like the only thing missing from their success. And so I know that consistency is not like a unfortunately, it's not as common as it should be, but I always think in terms of like, if I'm gonna do something, like I'm gonna keep doing it. Like I'm not gonna tell you I'm doing something unless I'm actually doing it. You know, I go for rucks every morning for almost every single morning. I go for a walk every day. And usually 4 to 6 of those days, if not 7, I've also got a rucksack on me and I'm carrying around, you know, weight on my in the backpack. It's funny, I put a lot of people that follow me on social, they're like, oh, you're so committed now to rucking. I love it. I'm like, actually, I started it a year ago. It was actually a year ago that I started rucking. I just didn't tell you about it till now because I wasn't sure if I was going to like it. And then I decided I liked it, so which meant I was like, okay, I'm now committed to doing this. I'm committed to, if I'm going to walk anyways, I'm going to make it harder on myself by throwing 45 pounds in a backpack. And so that's kind of the way I approach, I think, most things in life. And I don't always do that consciously. But I have realized like that there's no doubt if I'm going to do something for, I need for it to be sustainable for me. Like I can only run hot, burn hot for so long before otherwise I'll get tired and I'll just quit.
You make it sound so simple.
Well, it is. It's,
Right.
it can be hard to do, I suppose, some things, but it is very simple. That's the thing, dude. I don't think I'm dumb, but I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I look for things that give me the advantage because I won't quit and because I am consistent. That's why I think, you know, when I think about my real estate sales business, at the end of the day, through 3,500 transactions now, the lead sources are internet leads and referrals. And kind of nothing else matters. And for both of those things, it takes consistency, right? Referrals, because you got to be consistent with the people in your world who are referring you new people to work with. And then internet leads, because you and I both know that if somebody registers on my website, only a, you know, percentage or two are going to close a deal in the next 30 to 90, 180 days. The biggest opportunity is actually over the next 12 to 24 months.
It's
And
way out.
that's how I built my business, was like, I'll just follow up forever. I can play this game, Trishan. I'm good.
When did you start the real estate team?
I got licensed in like May of 07. Fred and I officially started working together 16 years ago. It was February of 2008 when he and I officially teamed up.
How did that happen?
Fred and I, so I know Fred because he's known my wife since like second grade. Literally,
Okay.
them and a group of friends grew up in the same neighborhood. She introduced us prior to me getting in real estate. He was already licensed. He and I started working together because he needed some help with some short sales and he was leaving the country and I had just gotten a license.
Okay.
And fast forward a few months, we were both doing short sales at that point. We were both employing actually his brother as a part-time employee to help us with some of the, I'll call it administrative work that we didn't want to do. And we were both calling banks from home, working on short sales, and it was sucked. And one day we and another friend were sitting around together and we were like, what would it be like if we just sat together in the same office and tried to help each other? That conversation happened in January of 2008. And by February of 2008, we had rented an office and we had hired his brother on full time. And we went at it. We started building. I mean, really, we didn't try to build. We were just trying to survive at that point. Eventually, we
Right.
started building.
I've never had anyone on, like that I would, I mean, now that my wife works in the business, she's like a partner, but she's still not really, like, I imagine you guys, I mean, you had to share everything, the finances, the.
Today, we're 50-50 partners. We didn't start that way because we had both come out of some situations in business where we both felt we were kind of the ones left sort of holding the responsibility bag. And so one of the things that we agreed to do was, in fact, what we did is we got in the car one day, we drove to my hometown, Yuma, Arizona, for some great Mexican food. And we talked about every listing that we both had at that point, which I think combined was 12. It's like not a lot of business. And we decided what we would compensate each other on for helping. And we also, so at that time, we basically said, hey, if I brought in the business, I got 80% of the income. If he brought in the business, he got 80%. But our expenses of these two offices, his paying his brother full time, and whatever other expenses we had, we were going to split those 50-50. So nobody could live off the other person. And then what happened is over time, we started bringing those. That number close, like we literally kept changing it. It went 75, 25, 70, 30, 65, 35, 60, 40, 55, 45. I'm not kidding. Like in over 3 year period, we went to finally got to 50, 50. The thing that we agreed to also is if we generated a piece of business because that we are business together, that was 50, 50. But early on, everything was either my deal or his deal. And the other person was just compensated basically for helping out.
It's like a production-based
Yeah.
model, like which I see, I mean, how many teams fall apart because they're doing the 50-50 right off the bat, and one person's bringing all the business and one person's just catching all the money. So that's interesting that that's the way that that started. So now, where's your team now?
We've gone through so many iterations. At the end of the day, we expanded. We're at one point, we had probably had 100 agents, not probably, we had 100 agents on our roster at one point
Wow.
over like seven states. We're mostly concentrated in Phoenix, Arizona, though. Now we still have a couple agents in Colorado and one part-time agent on the roster in Tennessee. Everyone else is here in the Phoenix area. And we have, call it 15 agents. It's a fairly hands-off business. Fred and I are a little more hands-on this year. And when I say that, I mean, every week I run a sales meeting. Fred and I run a sales meeting together. We run a meeting with the two people that are, I'll call it in leadership. So like our director of sales and our director of administration and operations. And then I'm on another Zoom as well once a week for an hour for the team. So I'm probably working 3 to 5 hours, 4 to 5, 4 to 6 hours a week in regards to the real estate team. And so is Fred. And do a couple hundred units. And it's not the most productive business we've ever had, We're going to do a couple hundred units. We're not going to do 500 again. I mean, we've done over 500. That's not really my desire to grow it to that, though it won't prevent, if Joe and Jill, the two leaders on our team grow it that big, then I'm not going to stop it from getting there. But, it's definitely evolved over the years and I love it.
It's awesome. That's awesome. So when I first met you, the way I met you was watching YouTube videos. I did watch the videos of you that you were making with Fred with when you guys left Keller Williams. That was the first introduction, but then reached out. We were talking about EXP. At that time, I feel like you had kind of created this hybrid model of a team to fit into EXP, but then.
We did create a hybrid, and we've moved back a little bit. We partnered with a company called Place about, I don't know, I think we made the decision about a year and a half ago, actually, but it's been about 13 months, 14 months since we officially launched with them. And with that was like, hey, we got to grow again. We actually have to grow this out agent count for this to really make sense for us. And part of the thing with Place was about having more systems and backend sort of services and support to allow Fred and I to continue to do more of what we really like doing, which is kind of growing our community within EXP while still maintaining and even growing the real estate sales business. And so, yeah, so we've had a lot of different iterations on our business. Fred and I, the thing that I'm probably most proud of, if you will, isn't necessarily like an accomplishment or an award that we've won. It's that we've always been willing to challenge what we thought was right. We've always been willing to challenge ourselves on the way we do things. Whether that's the splits that we pay our agents, how we generate our leads, support that we offer, like you name it. We've been willing to challenge ourselves and to force ourselves and then make tough decisions and not just be married to doing things a certain way because that's the way we've always done them. And so it's, we've had a few iterations for sure over the last 16 years.
That's really cool. I know that how I see you was not, you didn't try to sell me anything. You didn't even try to recruit me. I called you. Like what you were doing was what most people want to be able to do when it comes to growing an organization or a team. So what do you think the key to that is? Like,
I mean, listen, people join people. Like, there's different. Here's what I always say. Now, I love EXP. I want to be really clear. EXP, the model is the best in the business, in my opinion. I don't think there's a better model. In fact, I'm convinced 100% it's the best model. But that's not enough. The model is not enough for a real estate company. Because if
right.
it was, we'd already have 500,000 agents or 1 million agents. And we don't. It's about the people. It's always about the people. You can copy a model. You can't duplicate the people. Yeah, I can teach you about the model. I mean, I could show you all day why it's better for you. Like the numbers are the number. That's math. That's actually
Yeah.
not hard at all. Whether or not somebody can see it, though, that's a psychological question. And they've got to, someone's got to be able to be open-minded enough about their business and have a desire to grow or to be around a community in order to be able to see it. And
Yeah.
so, that's, I guess that's my little spiel on that. I'm not sure I actually answered your question, but.
What you do such a good job of, like, and what I'm guilty of sometimes is like if somebody asks me about it and then I go in, instead of being like you and being curious, I start giving them the wrong answer to the question that they asked because they weren't asking about the structure of EXP. They were asking about the community or they were asking about how it would solve a problem for them. And I don't even know what the problem is. And I'm telling them the answer before I'm not even, you know what I mean?
We got to find out people's problems.
Right.
We have to consult with them. One of my friends and mentors, and I know you know him too, is John Cheplak. And John always says, like, dude, the best way to sell or to recruit is you got to give people an experience of what it's like to work with you before they work with you. Because they're asking questions like what's the split? What's the cap?
Yeah.
What's the rev share plan? What's the stock? That's all stuff they could find easily. Like, that's not
Right.
the real question. That's never the real question.
I think that's a challenge for a lot of people. Like that little piece is that they ask you that question and then you blah, throw up all over them what they already could have found on the internet with a simple Google search.
Yep.
So you say that when you said EXP, the model, and then you said it was about the people, like maybe give me an example of that, like what the people mean to you or the people you're connected with. I can give you an example before. I'm gonna now I've let you
Go
talk.
for
I want to say one thing about my experience with EXP is when I went to sign up. So I got a new sign up in the front yard with a blanket over it, and I got all my stickers signed, stickered out, all 80 of them, new stickers on them. And I got all the websites ready to push one button, on each one, get everything switched over. I mean, I'm so organized and so ready to make this transition. And it was supposed to be at 8:30 that we were swapping our licenses. And I got a phone call at like 8:45 from the broker's assistant saying that his power was out. And I mean, I just lost it, completely lost it. But I really believe that that was like the moment that I really learned a lot about EXP and the people at EXP and the phone calls that I got, that I received, and like people actually saying they care. Just the advice and the things that people left in my voicemail, because I couldn't answer all the calls that I got, from people I didn't know. Your network of people and the things that they said to me on those voicemails, it was like, I found my place, right? Just the people's attitudes. They were just so good.
Yeah, dude, I think that's a great example. And when I say the people, or it's I mean the fact that, like, listen, you and I talk offline way more than we do online, right? If I needed help with something in my business right now, I know I could call you and be like, Bob, help me with this. What's going on? Or vice versa, right? I couldn't count how many examples I have of people helping other people in our world at EXP. Like, I've lost track of it, the relationships that just get built. You've got people that are just willing to do whatever it takes to help other people. Like, to me, that's important. That's something I look for in life. I think the way EXP is set up, the way our business model is set up to actually encourage that, it just kind of puts that on overdrive. And so people plug in. It's just pretty amazing. I think of like our one of our executives, Michael Valdez. Michael worked at another company called Realogy, I guess now it's called Anywhere, for 17 years. And then he came to work for EXP about 4 years ago. And every day for probably the first 6 months, somebody said to him, like, this company has changed my life. I'm so glad you're here. This company has changed my life. And he was like, I was at this other company, which, by the way, it was a great company. He loved his time. He had a great experience at Realogy slash Anywhere. It's like, but never in 17 years did anybody ever say to me, this company changed my life. And every day that I've been in EXP, somebody has said that to me.
That's really
And
cool.
like, eventually you just start to realize, like, wow, like it makes a big impact. Like, I'll tell you too, another thing is because of our model, and this is not to go, oh, rev share is amazing. But it is, I dealt with some serious health issues last year, and I pretty much didn't work last year in 2023. Now, in 2023, where most people in our industry's income was down, my income was actually higher, and I didn't even work for probably 75% of the year. And I could give you hundreds of examples, if not thousands of examples, of things like that. And so that I think that's what I mean.
That's really cool. The part about connecting with other people. So I called you with, I was a little stressed out, or I have people coming at me from all these different angles, and you connected me with Chris, and I had a conversation with him, and it's like he's just on some other, he's on another, he's in another place, like, but he made me feel like we're just looking at it the wrong way. Like there's something else to look at here. There's another piece right here that you're not looking at, It was a really interesting conversation, but to be able to connect with people like that, where I never would have made that connection before. And there's been several like that that I really appreciate about the company. And I'm not like really one to plug in, Like that's always been my challenge, like at any company, with referrals or with, the social events, I'm kind of the one that hides off to the side, and I don't want to be, I mean, it's just the way I've always been. Last year, our referrals for EXP, just the referrals alone, were like, I mean, I think we closed 16 transactions from EXP referrals. It might
Pretty
have
good.
something to do with not a lot of agents here in the area, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we're quick to the draw or whatever it is, but I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, that's without like getting into like a popularity contest. And then the rev share, it exceeds what I pay to be there. So like it's a big deal. I mean,
My buddy
one
Mel.
day, it might be like yours, where I make more in a down year than everybody, that I did the year before without working, but I'm not there yet.
My buddy Nolly says when people tell him, like, oh, I'm good. I'm in 100% company. He's like, why would you settle for 100%? You're cutting yourself short. You're still paying to be there.
I feel like a lot of people that haven't seen it need to see it.
The thing is, the way people see it is through other people. Like, that's the way this company grows. It's through relationships with us as agents. No different than like a real estate brokerage's client base. Like, I'm talking their buyers and sellers, doesn't grow because of the company. It grows because of the agents and the relationships that the agents have on the ground. Well, the same thing is true for growing an agent count. It actually grows through agents. That's why some companies will incentivize their top agents to be there, and they'll give them stuff like free caps and free offices, because what they know is, like, I can take a loss on Bob, but if I can then tell people that, hey, listen, the number one guy here is at our office, you should be here too. Like, that's actually valuable in the real estate recruiting world, in the brokerage world. And so all EXP did was flip the script on it and go, we know that. And because of that, as agents, we're just going to give you the opportunity. And instead of like having a multi-layered system where there's like franchise owners and there's like regional people, it's like, no, half the money comes to the company so we can be profitable. Half of the money is going to go to agents to reward you for building the company. And that's, to me, that's just a better way of doing things.
So I guess like when I say that I need to be able to share that, I think it's just a simple adjustment of my messaging, my outward messaging, because I've been putting out a lot of stuff. I've been putting out a lot of content like based
Got to
on
shoot
like,
your shot. You got to shoot
pardon?
your shot more. You got to shoot your shot. You give, dude. You're a giver. You have a lot to give. Like, you've accomplished a hell of a lot more than most people ever will in our industry. And you've never been shy about sharing your knowledge, sharing your wins, your losses to help somebody else get to whatever their next level is. The thing that I've learned, and I learned this a lot also from my buddy Chris that we've talked about, is you gotta shoot your shot, man. Like, jab, 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 right hook. Some people will come to you. Like, you came to me not because I called you up and like, Bob, do you know about eXp Realty? That wasn't it. You called me because I put out something that you'd saw and you thought was valuable. And then, you checked out some other stuff and then we talked. And I was like, well, dude, how can I help your business? And then eventually I was like, do you want to join me at eXp? I should have got you to join sooner. But also, it's part of my game that I'm trying to get better at, right? And it's just a matter, like, here's the thing I believe. I believe that our model is the best in the industry. And so if I believe that, then why am I not sharing that with more people? I want that for you. Like, I want my friends to experience the things I've experienced because of the company.
I wasn't ready when I talked to you the first. I think like I had a bad day the first time I talked to you.
Yeah, I remember.
It was a bad day. There was something going on. I'm like, but then it wasn't until I had a really bad day that I was ready. Or maybe it was beyond that because it was someone else that was working here that saw it and said, we got to do this, but that's what's been going through my head a lot, man. I'm like there. I'm there. Like I know that I'm there and I know I want to help more people. And I know that it's been great to me.
You just got to remember what you have is valuable, and people should want to be around you and want to learn from you and want to collaborate with you. And as soon as you remember that, it's kind of like, there's a guy here locally, a friend of mine, his name's Russell Shaw. And Russell told another friend of mine, like, hey, how good is your listing appointment? Like, what's your consultation or presentation? Is it good? And he was like, yeah. And he goes, bullshit. I know it's not good enough. It's not good. Because if it was good or good enough, you'd be presenting it so much more. He's like, you don't even believe in it yet. That shook his world, man. That shook this guy's world. And he was,
Someone, this Russell Shaw said that to somebody, or somebody said it to him.
Russell said, so Russell's a legend. Like, he's in MREA. He's a legend in Phoenix. Okay. Everybody knows Russell. It's one of the first guys that ever did like 100 million in volume, like long time ago, like 20 years ago. He said that to another agent that's a friend of mine that was looking for advice. Russell's like, nah, you don't actually believe in your listing consultation or your listing presentation. You don't believe in it. Cause if you did believe in it, you'd be presenting it a whole lot more.
I love that. I don't even know where to go from there. Like that's a, I gotta think about that one because I think that that's real and that's awesome. Well, man, I really appreciate your time. I
Yeah,
really
dude.
appreciate it.
This
This has
was
been awesome. Well, good luck with your studio and thank you for coming on. And I know everybody else is gonna appreciate this and hope to see you soon.
Yeah, dude, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. And yeah, we'll talk again soon. I'm certain of it.